to worship you and to adore you, and Lord God, and to fellowship and to praise your name. We thank you. We thank you for our church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so now, as we come together, we ask you to speak a word for us, a word of love and a word of hope, a word of peace and a word of joy. And Lord God, fill us, revive us, and fill us again. And so we invite the Holy Spirit to come now. Come and be amongst us with all of your quickening power. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Well, you do know that today is Transfiguration Sunday, right? You do know why we have the white up. You're going to have such knowledge in my tenure here. All the knowledge. It is that today we have changed the color, you notice. It was green, and now today is white, with a little bit of maroon, make it prettier. And I'm wearing white. You know, my stole is all white and gold, because it is the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. He was transfigured before he would begin his journey to the cross, right? Right before we Lent, Ash Wednesday. And as it says on your bulletin, the transfiguration of Jesus, and it's found in Matthew 17:1-13. We haven't gone up to that yet. But this is why we are celebrating. And it meant that, you know, his glory, it was the light shone on him as he goes up into the mountain. And the early church, we celebrate all of those things that are in our text, in the Bible, that reminds us of the life of Jesus, right? It's his journey. And so my sermon title today is A Glimpse of God. A Glimpse of God. And oftentimes we certainly want to be able to see a glimpse of God, but today I'm going to share with you that we get a glimpse of God more than we think. More than we think. And we have to be reminded of it and to remember that God is with us and God is amongst us. And I read this reflection called The Power of Prayer, and the writer states, "I'm a medical doctor. 2 weeks ago, I discovered a lump on my neck. Panic and fear filled me. Ultrasound findings showed several cysts and complex nodules on my thyroid. I became depressed, and almost every hour I talked to God and asked him to heal me. I went to St. Pius Chapel and cried my heart out and poured out all the fear I had inside. While in the chapel, it was as if someone told me, 'Don't worry. You are healed by God. Everything is going to be all right. You will live long. I still have many plans for you.' I felt peace after that. Yesterday, I went to the endocrine specialist, and while driving, I felt panic and fear again. I prayed. Immediately, it's as if I was given a tranquilizer by God." It's not a good preaching title, a tranquilizer. "I felt calm. As I approached the hospital, a taxi cut in front of my car. There was a big sticker on the car that said, 'There's good news here.' In that instant, I knew it was God winking, telling me everything is going to be all right. That is exactly what happened. The doctor told me that the cysts are all likely benign. I became very happy. It was good news indeed. And I thank God." A glimpse of God. Little things in our lives that we do not believe or understand that it's a glimpse of God. The songwriter says, "We have a story to tell the nations. And it says in the first verse, we have a story to tell the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Then the other verse says that we have a song to be sung to the nation. And the third verse says we have a message to give to the nations. And the fourth verse says we have a Savior to show to the nations. You see, we all have something to tell someone about God if we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter had a story to tell. Peter had a story to tell to everyone. Something had happened to Peter on the mountain that day, and Peter wanted everyone to know. And you know, church, I want to let you know that you and I have stories to tell. God has worked things out in our lives oftentimes. God has done miraculous things, simple things, awesome things for us, and we have seen a glimpse of God. But if we don't receive it, or is vulnerable enough to say, yes, it's God, right? Sometimes we're waiting for these major things that we hear other people see they have. I remind people all the time, the burning bush is not going to happen again. It has already happened, but God continually works in our life. I'll tell you another brief reflection, and this is true, just happened to me last week. I had a little slip, nothing major, but I had a little slip on the steps going from the office to my parsonage, and I, you know, had a little slip, a little pain in the hand and the hip. Anyway, I decided after a month and a half I should go to the doctor because it kept hurting me. I went to the orthopedic doctor, and the first time I've ever been, and they did an X-ray and then they did an MRI, and he says it's just a little bit of, you could see a little bit of strain, but everything is fine. But you should take therapy. So now I'm going to the place down here to take. It's not far from here. Some therapist on West Oak Country Road. And my therapist is this wonderful man. Just wonderful. He was so friendly and open. And I come to find out, maybe because I had my cross on, he started talking to me about religion, you know, about God and his church. He's a Roman Catholic, devout Roman Catholic, and loves God. And we were just talking in general. Well, last week when I went on Thursday, we were talking, and they had put some heat on my little wrist here where it's hurting, and he was just talking to me, and then he says, you know, I heard from my wife, because he's gotten used, and I said, you weren't, he says, my wife said something to me, and I says, you weren't speaking to your wife? Because I wonder why he was saying that to me. And then he said, yes, she keeps talking to me and assuring me that she's all right. Then I caught on. I says, is your wife passed on? And he said, yes. That she died last year of MS. So I said, it got quiet. We were in that room. And he said, 17 years of she had MS. And he had to take care of her. And he said, and now she's doing so well because she talks to me and she's happier and doing better where she is. She's with the right person. She's with God and he's taking care of her. And at that moment, I had a glimpse of God. That this man who had gone through so much you would never have imagined because of his personality, making you feel so good when you're there. I held his hand. And all I just did was held his hand and squeezed it. Glimpse of God. That he would get it. In all his pain, he got it. It didn't break his relationship with God. It didn't tear him down. And I said, do you have any children? And he says, we have one daughter. And he says, and one day we'll all be together again.
Amen.
We'll all be together again. And it was a God moment. That there was no words. I was a preacher and there was no words. I just held his hand. And every time I go now, I get him, because I asked for him. He says, you get, I says, no, I'm getting Mike. Just a wonderful moment of seeing how God would bring this man for 17 years, and he knows all the technical terms because he's a physical therapist, what happened to her body, watched her deteriorate, took care of her, and now she had gone home to be with the Lord. And the joy was that he knew Jesus, and he wasn't angry with Jesus, loves his church, loves the Lord. A glimpse, a God moment, when God winks. Jesus would take Peter and James and John, James' brother John, up to the high mountain themselves, because he knew what was ahead of them. He knew that they were going to have a lot going on after he was gone. They did not know that. When Jesus calls us into right relationship with him, when we accept Christ, or we accept our calling, whatever it may be, Jesus does not give us a list of the things that is going to happen to us. Right? We don't know that, do we? We keep serving through it. God doesn't say, well, if you follow me, this is going to happen, and you're going to get sick, and you may lose a family member, you lose your job. He just says, follow me. And we say yes. Some of us when we're young, some of us a little bit older, and we keep going. And we're hoping that God is in it with us. And today I want to remind you and to encourage you that yes, he is with us, like he's with Mike there at the therapist. And oh, I found a friend in Mike, and we'll keep in touch. What a blessing to see someone was going through and still believe in the Lord. And the Bible says Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking to them. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good to be here. Church, you know it's good to be here. Right? We have been here since 7:30, right, Zamzam, or earlier. And we come out in the morning and we're sometimes not quite up as much. Well, I'll speak for myself. Maybe you're ready to sing and dance, but I have to get myself going at 7:30, right? Maybe she's ready, you know, maybe that Indian blood, but I have to kind of, and I'm a little bit older than her, and I have to get myself up. But by the time I come in here, even though just a handful of the older people, sometimes I'm dancing around, I think they wonder, what did she take this morning? Because I'm glad to be here. Even when there's six of them, and you know, us, we 12 or 13 of us together, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to hear the song sing and the word, the scriptures read and the preached word and to fellowship with each other. It is good to be among friends who love the Lord. It is good. It encourages you. Sometimes you walk through the door and we are burdened down with ups and downs and weary, and I tell people, don't go to church, you're missing out, because one person can pray to God, but a whole group of us can worship God together. It is good to be here, Peter says, on this Transfiguration Sunday. He saw something so awesome that he shouted, it's good to be here. And at that moment, he wanted to do something. They wanted to build dwellings to Moses and to Elijah. You see, sometimes when we're in the presence of God, we don't have to want to do anything but just be in the presence of God. Right? We don't have to want to do anything, just to sit there and be in the presence of God. I said earlier this morning that I used to have some big women's retreat. Came out of a church in Brooklyn when I first started, when I was an associate pastor there. And we used to have women's retreat where we go away for 2 days, and it's just great singing and worship and such an abandonment of self. And we would, and there would be great speakers, and the church that my daughter goes to now and she attends, it's a Methodist church, but it's an African Methodist Episcopalian, and they have big women's retreat where a couple thousand women will attend, and there'd be such worship and singing that you forget who's next to you. Nobody's looking at anyone else. People would fall out. Women, we would worship. Sometimes you just worship God. You're in the presence of God, that people would fall out. Not because of it, you couldn't stand up. You were so overwhelmed. by the presence of the Holy, the divine presence. Oh, I miss those days. You know, you would be so bogged down with life and work and your job and who's going through a divorce, who's separated, who has problems, children problem. And then for 2-3 days, once a year, you would go away together. And the men had their own retreat that we didn't attend. Right? And you'd go away and you would feel that, yes, there's a God that you could come back and tackle anything.
Amen.
Because you felt that you just touched the Holy. I can't even explain it to you. You have got to experience it for yourself. And the only way you experience that kind of presence of God is to be vulnerable before God. To surrender your will. Because, you know, some people says, I've never felt that. I don't know why I don't feel it. Because we have to surrender the presence of God. Just holy moment. You don't want to leave, but you know you have to leave. This is what's going to happen to Peter and James, and they have to leave. And that's why every now and then we get a glimpse of God, and yet we have to leave and come down to reality. And we need that moment to get us through reality, don't we? To bring us through reality. And then the Bible says, he heard someone speaking. They heard someone speaking, and while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. And that would change Peter and James and John's life. They're going to need that and remember that always. And they says, when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. Church, I'm telling you, friends, you can be sometimes in the presence of worship and where you feel a freedom. If you don't feel a freedom to worship, you feel this awesome thing that you can't explain. You're so filled up. Have you ever felt it, anybody here? You're so filled up. You can't explain it. My hope and desire is that everyone would feel it. One touch, you feel like you've literally touched the hem of God's garment. You've seen his glory. This is what the transfiguration meant for us. And it says, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And they were coming down from the mountain. And then Jesus gave them an order. Peter had an eyewitness moment. He witnessed the glory of God. Peter had a glimpse of God. Peter's message was based on his eyewitness account. And Peter wanted to let them know as he would begin to what? Peter is going to need that because he's going to have to spread the gospel. The Acts of the Apostles is going to tell you about his ministry. But before that, he's really going to need that to survive. Because when he denied Christ, as we look at later on during Lent, when he denied Christ, I am sure it was because he had a glimpse of God that he could catch himself and come back and show up again. Had a glimpse of God. He wanted them to know it was not a myth. It was not some kind of imagination. Because, you know, here's what the problem is. Sometimes when people don't get that experience, they think other people who get it that we're crazy. You know, we could be a little bit crazy, but it's okay to be crazy because the whole world is crazy. I mean, we're living in America now. We're all a little bit crazy, aren't we? Right? We're crazy. It's a crazy time we're living in. So it all depends on what you're crazy about. I choose to be crazy about Jesus. Somebody else chooses to be crazy about football. Somebody chooses to be crazy about basketball or about baseball. But we all are crazy about something, aren't we? Right? Everybody's a little bit crazy. People scream and howl and pull their hair out and carry on at football games. I see them on TV. You think they've been what? You think they've seen the glory of God, don't you? And probably they have. You know what I'm saying? For them, you know, they scream and they all and you think, my God, they're going to speak in tongues in a moment. Whatever it is.
Different words.
That's right. It's different words. And it's certainly different words. Marlena is right. But, you know, we all get a little bit crazy about something. And it's okay to be getting excited and crazy about God. Lord knows it's different words. We can't say them here. And so, unless not, we won't even try because Lord knows. And so we all get excited. So here's Peter had a glimpse of God. Because Jesus was transfigured, the light shone. They realized that he was not just any old Messiah. Remember, there was many Messiahs. There were many before who said they were the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And he realized then, those three men, that he was the one. Something different happened to him. And that would change their lives. Well, church, you know, we get a glimpse of God all the time, don't we? And we don't realize the glimpse of God. And God does things that can amaze us. I shared this morning that I knew a lady, she's still alive, she's 90-something. Her name was Ziegler, her last name. They were in my other church, the most beautiful woman. The family, the Zieglers, had been at the church a long time, and she married into the Ziegler family. And she just, you ever see some people get older and just look fantastic, just well-dressed, everything was always in place, and a beautiful woman. And she was married to Mr. Ziegler. And the family had a history of Alzheimer's, the family she married into. Two sisters got it and passed on, and now it go by age. It was her husband's time, it seems. And he was diagnosed, and I guess she'd gotten so overwhelmed. And depression must have set in, and nobody really knew it. And I was close to, I've always been kind of close to the older people. And one day I said to her, Mrs. Ziegler, let's go out to lunch, we'll talk. Because I could see her looking so sad, and we knew what was happening to the husband. And then we were at this little diner, and then she says, Reverend Nunes, I want to tell you something. I have told no one this, not even my daughter. She has a daughter and a son and a grandchildren. And she says, one day she was so down and depressed. This beautiful woman who had been in the church all her life, Methodist, baptized, confirmed, 80-something years old. And she says she went into her garage, closed the turn, and sat in the car and turned it on. She just wanted to go. And she heard the voice of God in her head, because she's not crazy. You know, she heard it, whether it was audible or it was in her, turn the car off. And she said she was shocked. She sat there for a minute, and she turned it off. And she began to weep. And she remembered the scripture. Didn't say it this morning, came back, that the Lord said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And she got up, came out of the car. She had wept. She's 90-something years old now. And he died from Alzheimer's a few years later. A glimpse of God. In that moment, that would show up for this faithful believer who got scared, got depressed, and God just showed up and tapped her. Church, these are the glimpses of God that happens in our lives. I'm sure you all have stories if you're to say it. But we see the glimpse of God in simple things. When we do a baptism, when we come to church on a Sunday and we baptize a child, when we baptize a baby or a grown-up, we tend to baptize babies here, but even a grown-up, when we baptize a baby, it is a glimpse of God. We don't know the mystery that's happening in that baby's heart. But when we hold that baby and we are saying to that little infant that don't know, and we're believing that the Spirit of God is entering their hearts and that they're now born again of the Spirit, when we lay hands on them, it is a God moment, church. It is one of the sacraments of the church, and it's a God moment. When we take the bread and we have Holy Communion, that's why we call it Holy Communion. It's a sacrament and we don't fully get it. It's a mystery. But we take the bread and we say, Jesus said, this is my body. Takes the bread and he gives thanks. Break it. Give it to his disciples and says, this is my body given for you. Huh? Take and eat.
And as often as you do it in remembrance of me. It's a glimpse of God, because what are we really doing? If we were to analyze it outside of church, right? We could go buy a piece of bread and eat it. But it's a God moment. The presence of God among us. And then we take the cup and we believe and we say, this is the cup of the new covenant shed for you and for many. Drink this. And as often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me until I return, he says. Oh, glory to God. And for thousands of years after he's gone, we have been still doing it because it is that God moment for us. Isn't it? I thought this morning, even unto our death, when we say over our body, into your hands, Lord God, we commit whoever the person is, into your hands we commit this person, God. Receive this person. It is a glimpse of God. Because we believe that we are handing them over to something and someone greater than us. And each of those moments is a moment where God comes to us, to be among us, to be with us. So church, we get glimpses of God. And even though confirmation is not a sacrament for the Protestants, when a young person of 12 or 13 or whatever age stands up front and they say, they don't quite fully understand, but they say, will you follow Jesus? And they says, yes, I'll follow Jesus. It's a God moment, because they don't know what's ahead of them. Right? They could ask the question, why follow Jesus? Church, we have glimpses of God all the time in our own lives, where God shows up, hold our hands. We get a diagnosis and we're scared. We're driving to the doctors and we're scared and we're praying, and then we hear the news, it's going to be all right. Or we may hear the news, it's not going to be so all right, and then we're calling on God. And God is with us. So the transfiguration for us reminds us today that God will show up. Just like how God showed up through Jesus Christ for those three men, God continues to show up for us. And as the songwriter says, I believe, and I could only tell you what I believe. And I believe, as the song says, I believe in every drop of rain that falls. I believe. Call me stupid if you will, but I believe that there's Jesus Christ. I believe that there's God. Can I explain it all? I can't. There are times I hear a song and I tremble. Times I read a scripture and I have goose pimples. Sometimes I pray and I could feel pins and needles just running through me, because I believe that there's a God somewhere. A God in the great somewhere that hears every prayer. I believe. Couldn't go through this world without God. We're here because we believe. Because we believe. Songwriter says, I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. Glimpse of God in our lives. And we come here to worship God. Because each time we come, it's a glimpse of God. And when you leave this place, you're leaving with whatever piece of nugget that touches your heart. Be it something from the song, from the scripture, from the preached word. You should be leaving and knowing that you were in the presence of the Almighty God. For he tells us, where two or more gather together in his name, he's in the midst. So Jesus is here. Jesus is here with us. Amen.